Brother Sean was looking like he wanted to volunteer for that job.
I need to. You want me to?
No, that's all right. If you're prettier, yes. it'll be all right. I want to, it's going to be kind of a little bit more, I guess, a more simplistic message tonight. Yeah, it's not going to take me 45 minutes to do all this. So, it'd be my welcome back to you guys, letting you get out of here earlier tonight. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I really just have one verse that we're going to hit on. We might hit some of the other ones depending on how God is leading me. But I want us to look at a verse in verse 12. And we might talk about some of the other stuff that goes along with it here in a minute. But to begin with, let's look at verse 12. It says, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we just want to ask that you'd be with us tonight, that you would just show us, Lord, from your word and just teach us about yourself. And help us as we go through each and every day, that we can just be your representatives better, and just fill us, Lord, with the knowledge that can only come through the Holy Spirit. Lord, you tell us that the Spirit desires to know the deep things of God, and we just ask tonight that you would just help us to gain some understanding of yourself, and help us to apply that understanding to our life, so that we can have a closer walk with you. And because we know, Lord, just like that song that we ended with that says that one day we're going to fly away, we really are going to fly away with you. And Lord, we just need to know better about who you are so that we can keep our eyes and our priorities in the right direction during this time on this earth. Guide us, Lord, in these things. And we just ask for the moving power of your Holy Spirit, that you will just talk to us and touch us in the way that only you can. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we have this verse here, and it says that for now we're looking through a glass darkly. I don't know if you know exactly what that's referring to, but he is referring to a mirror. And I'm sure you can see yourself in the mirror, right? You can look at it. Sometimes I wish that was a different face in the mirror. But you know, this is what we do. And he says, "For now we look through a glass darkly." What do you think he was talking about with that? You know, as he's going through that chapter, he talks about some things. He talks about charity, which that word is a very peculiar word, because we think charity means giving, right? It actually means agape, love feast. It's a feast of love. So whenever you read through there and it says charity, it's actually talking about having a feast of love. You know, look at the first verse just to get a context, and I keep losing everything. It just slides right out. It says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity," which feast of love, "and if I have not feast of love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." Now, I don't know if that bothers you that much, but it kind of bothers me sometimes, because I struggle with loving in this day and age. It seems like it's a foreign concept whenever you see so much hate. And it comes from every direction. You know, even if you turn on, you know, Christian radio like AFR, and you listen to that, you don't walk away from that radio station loving Democrats, do you? You know, I don't know if you're a Democrat or not, but if you listen to that regularly, you're going to struggle with it, because you're like, oh, why is there so much hate and bitterness coming from the sides? You don't walk away from that having love, our feast of love. You have something else. You're like, oh my goodness, I wish God would fix that group of people. Well, I'm telling you that both sides have got some issues going on. And all that stuff is coming into our minds and making us where we struggle to love others too. Regardless of their actions or whatever. And the Apostle Paul gets here and he says, go back to verse 12, Caden. And he says, right now, it's like I'm looking in a glass darkly. And he's trying to help people understand that there are some things that's hard to understand. But the key to this, he says, but then face to face. Because how are we going to have agape love? Well, you've got to know something about God to have agape love. You've got to have some confidence in who He is. Now, the Apostle Paul, I don't think he had much of a problem understanding who God is. But I can confess to you tonight that I do. I struggle with it often. And I think that that's what this verse does tonight. And I want to show you tonight that we all have some learning to do about understanding who God is. So what we're going to do is I'm just going to ask, you know, if you know the answer to this question, I would like you to just, just call it out, raise your hand, whatever you think. But I'd like to have an attribute of God. Can anybody just name an attribute of God?
Love.
Love, there we go. So God is love, right? Anything else?
Omnipresent.
Okay. There's no spell check right there, is it? Omnipresent. Another one.
Holy.
Do what?
Good.
Another one. Just. Another one.
Righteous.
Sinless, okay.
Merciful.
Faithful, yes. Merciful? Yeah, we said merciful. Is there another one? What is it?
Humble?
Omniscient. There we go. Another omni word. Another one. What?
Kind.
Another one.
Patient.
Another one.
Loving.
Another one.
Comforting.
Another one.
Judge.
Another one. There's another omni out there.
Omniscient.
Oh, we said that one, didn't we? No, we didn't. We didn't. Another. Yeah, we said that one. Yep.
Truth.
Another. Magnificent. That's a big word there. Magnificent. Another.
Awesome.
Another. How about eternal? Another. How about grace? Another. Did we say holy? We did say holy. How about imminent? Like he could come at any time, right? Imminent. Spotless. How about immutable? You know what that means? It means he doesn't change. He never changes. Another. How about self-existent? You might think of another one? How about sovereign? He is a jealous God, yeah. Not jealous like us, but he is jealous in a respect. Sleepless? I guess you could say he's sleepless. He's always awake. I only have one more on my list, so any others? How about transcendent? Like he's past, present, future, all the time. Even through what Paul would call even dimensions. So he's transcendent. I didn't write spirit up there. He is a spirit. Any others? I did not write perfect. Any others? He is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He is light. That is, he is. Any others? Let's look at that verse one more time. In 1 Corinthians 13 and 15. And I want you to see it. It says, for now we look through a glass darkly. Can y'all see that? There is so much about God we cannot possibly understand. We can't even remember all those attributes. And the list just seems like it goes on and on and on about who God is. And you know, when we go through things like chapter 13 is talking about and saying, you know, though I speak with the tongues of angels and I have not love feast, I am become as a tinkling cymbal, as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Like it's nothing. And we wonder, you know, why we struggle with love, why we struggle with faith, why we struggle with hope. You know, whenever you get to the end at verse 13, he says, now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity, is love feast. You wonder why we struggle in this day and age with hope and faith and love feast. Well, it's because we're looking through a glass darkly. We don't understand God very well at all. We just don't. Now, that is no excuse. Just because we don't understand doesn't mean that we are without excuse. But that's why the Scripture will tell us in 2 Timothy 2 and 15 that we are supposed to study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen who needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, how did you come up with these words that we spoke about? Because they're in the Scriptures, aren't they? They're all over the place. You get a little here, you get a little there. Well, that's exactly how the Bible tells us. That's how we're supposed to study it. We're supposed to get a little here, a little there, a little over here, a little over there, just a little bit at a time. And it's amazing that we gain a little bit of knowledge. But as much as we can possibly ever learn, we're still going to look through that glass darkly. I can't even make out the last word that I wrote in there. I was talking to a guy one time, and he told me that he thought that he had lost more knowledge than I had ever gained. Because he just, you know, the older he got, he's like, he started losing hold of those things that he had studied so hard for. You see, that's what this world does to you. It's corrupt, and we live in bodies that they are very corruptible, and they're going through corruption right now. You know, Leah is the youngest one here. But you know, she's headed towards death, even at that young age. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. But aren't you glad that that Scripture says in verse 12, but then face to face, that one day what we're looking through this glass darkly and we don't understand very much about God at all, we've got that much of it. That's why when Jesus would say, if you've got faith as a grain of mustard seed, that you could move mountains, you could change kingdoms. Because God is so big. We just can't understand it. That's not even a drop in the bucket. It's not. We're looking through a glass darkly. And you could keep going through the Scriptures and you can find more and more and more about God. You can learn more about His love. You can learn more about His holiness. You can learn more about His righteousness. And here's the thing. He wants you to take on that characteristic. Our destiny is to be conformed into the image of God's Christ. And one day, we're going to see Him face to face. All of this stuff is just going to be wiped away. Yeah, now we're looking through it darkly. But then, face to face, where we're not going to see all the blackness, we're not going to see all the scribbles. And it says that we're going to be able to know Him as He knows us, as we are known. Aren't you excited about a day like that? When you don't have to guess anymore. When you don't have to wonder anymore. You don't have to work so hard to keep faith. Where you don't have to, you know, try to get around people that are encouraging because they're so much discouraging you. That's called hope. You won't have to have somebody try to build up hope inside of you, because you're going to be able to look at Jesus Who is hope. By the way, we didn't even write that one up here. He is hope. And we're going to be able to look at Him and we're going to see hope in its finest form. And we're going to understand. Now, right now, we are looking through that glass darkly. Right now, we don't understand love feast. We don't, and again, that word, it's translated brotherly love. Same word. I don't know why they translated it charity right here. It kind of confuses my mind. That's why I have to go and look those words up from in their original text sometimes to get a better understanding about what is it really talking about. It's not talking about you giving money. It's talking about you giving love. And one day, as you become more and more like your Creator, it gets easier and easier to love others. Despite their flaws, despite their imperfections. Because, yeah, all of us have got a whole bunch of them, don't we? And when you get a group of people together, well, it just compounds the imperfections. And we look at all those people, and it's like we're looking through that glass darkly. We don't understand. Let me read you some of this passage right up here. If you'll go up, I didn't give these verses to Caden. But look up at verse 8. It says, charity never fails. It never faileth. Now, we're going to talk about a word here in a second, because it says that whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. What is that talking about? Is it saying that the prophecies are that they're not going to do what they're supposed to do? It's saying that once something that's been said is going to happen comes to pass, we don't need it anymore. It means they lose their importance. It's not like they fail, like they don't do what they're supposed to do. It's they're not important to us anymore because they're in the past. The prophecies are gone. But charity doesn't have that problem. Love doesn't have that problem. It continues on and on and on, and it doesn't lose value. It gains value. That's why he says charity, love feast, gains value. It doesn't lose. Look at the next one there. It says, and whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Hey, the language barrier has been broken down in our generation. You know, if you've got one of those smartphones, I know a lot of people don't like them around here, but you can get an app and you can talk in it. And if you're in Germany and they speak and they're only speaking Germany where you're at, you could talk in it and it'll spit out German what you say. You don't even have to know the language anymore. That the barrier has ceased. So tongues is going to cease. One day we're going to be in heaven and we're probably all going to speak Hebrew. I don't know. I figure that's probably their original language. But tongues, you know, why was tongues given? And I'm not talking about speaking in you know, like the charismatics think that you're speaking like the language of angels. But we're talking about what happened at the Tower of Babel. Why did that happen? It was because they were trying to create a God in their own image. They were trying to become like Satan thought. And God sent the division of tongues to make everything more complicated. Well, one day that's going to cease. But His love will never cease. It's always going to be there. The love feast that God has never ceases. And that's what He wants us to be like. To never cease in that love. And then He says, whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Just like I was talking about, you know, that older gentleman who said he had lost more knowledge than I had ever gained. It's because knowledge goes away with age. It seems like our brain starts doing like the rest of our body. It starts slowing down. It can't keep up with as much stuff. Well, that's a natural process, and that's okay. Because one day, God's going to fix it. We don't have to know all this stuff that we learn today in our generation, because we're going to be able to look to the author and the finisher of our faith and be able to see Him face to face. Yeah, now we're looking through a glass darkly. But then, face to face. And you know what's going to come out? Love. The love feast. So what's the takeaway tonight? I want you to think about God. I want you to think about His attributes on a regular basis. How good He is. How holy He is. You know, when the disciples came to Jesus and they said, "Jesus, will you teach us to pray?" What was the first thing that He told them? He said, whenever you begin your prayer, you say, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name." He says your first thoughts when you go to pray should be about your Creator. How awesome He is. How righteous He is. How omnipresent He is. How omniscient He is. How transcendent He is. How perfect He is. You know, if you can begin your day, every day, thinking about how great, and we didn't even write that one down, how great God really is, it'll change your whole mindset on going out there into a very imperfect world, to a very unholy world. And you'll be able to be missionaries. You'll be able to be witnesses. Because you didn't start your day thinking about you. You started your day thinking about Him. And yet, at the end of the day, you're going to be looking through a glass darkly and like, "God, I just don't understand any of this." But one day, He's going to take care of all that. He's going to wipe all the tears from people's eyes, those cares, those pains, those sufferings. He's going to take care of all those. And all He's going to leave behind is love. The love feast. And I know that's kind of a short message. I don't want to ruin it by talking too much. But I want you to take away that, yeah, we are looking through a glass darkly. This is a tough world. We don't even understand God. How are we going to be able to make it in this world and be able to be the light that shines into this world? Well, it begins when we just take a little here and a little there and we honor God the way that we need to. And when we can honor God the way that we need to, love comes through. It's greater than anything else that the Scripture talks about, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Will you pray with me tonight? Dear Lord, I just want to thank You for Your love. I know we didn't go into a whole lot of verses tonight, but I just really wanted us to gain knowledge of this concept, to be able to just focus on, yeah, we do struggle in this life, but we know, Lord, that You're mighty and You're powerful and You've got this world, and that one day You're going to rule and You're going to reign on it, and You're going to take away all the sin, You're going to take away all the pain, all the suffering. Lord, would You help us to understand better who You are? Help us to begin each and every day honoring You with all of our being. That we would seek Your face daily. That we would dive into Your Scriptures. That we would apply those to our life. And Lord, when we go out into this world, that we would be Your witnesses. Help us, Lord, to understand this better. Help us to look forward to that day where we see You face to face and not looking through a glass darkly. Lord, what a wonderful day that's going to be. Guide us, Lord, in these things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If y'all would stand with me and sing a little song. I know y'all know this song. It's called "God is So Good." We might even